We thank you, Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, moving amongst us, moving within us, upon us. Hallelujah. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our healer, the anointed one, and his anointing, touching spirit, soul, and body tonight. In the name of Jesus, wherever there's a need, just reach out, receive it, be expecting for whatever that place is, whatever those areas are in your life, in our life. We agree with one another for freedom. We agree with those, Father, watching for that touch, whatever it is that you need. We thank you so much that you're a good God. We thank you so much that you have good things for us. And we're expecting, hallelujah, we're going to see revival in this area. We thank you, Lord. We call upon you, Father. You've done it before, and we know you're doing it again. So we speak that awakening unto God in this area. We speak that awakening unto God in our own lives and where you are, where you're watching right now. In Jesus' name. Father, even in those little things in our lives, even in those places where we haven't seen it, right now we say, wake up, be delivered, be made whole in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to Wednesday night. Welcome, Kenny. Praise God. Glory to God. It's good to have you with us. Better and better and better, all the way to wholeness. We all agree with that. Amen. We know the Lord is working. He's done it before in his life. Yeah. Praise God. From 1 year to live, and now it's like he's going on 20 years past that. Wow. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Well, if it's your first time watching, our website's on the screen. It's vlfc.church. All of our past messages are there. You can find out more about us. Look up what we believe. Submit your prayer requests, your testimonies. Those of you here in the room, you can do that online, or you can do it on your offering envelope. It is an honor to pray. So we get those prayer requests. We get those testimonies. And we pray over those. We're in agreement to see God work. We want to remind you of Pastor Rodney's daily devotional on our website and on Facebook as well. And so we encourage you, just make that a part of your daily routine, daily habit, daily word habit. It's a blessing and it's a resource for us to grow. That's the whole point of it. It's not just a fuzzy, friendly word for the day, but it's something that we could take a hold of, put action to, and walk it out in our daily life. Also, just a few announcements. Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. So come early. We have fellowship here. We have coffee over there, the coffee station. And Wednesday nights, we have started Jesus, the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. Are you all enjoying this? Are you getting something out of it? We're believing God. We're going to see, as we're putting our faith and building our faith for miracles, learning and understanding that Jesus is our healer, learning and understanding that he's working with us and through us. It's given us faith to be able to step out and do those things he's calling us to do. And so it's a night of teaching, but then we have, after the cameras are off, we have our discussion in here, activation and practical hands-on ministry labs where we can put these things to work. And so I encourage you to come. If you are in the area, we invite you to come and join us on Wednesday nights. Doors open at 6 and we start at 6:30. Come early, and then there's refreshments afterwards. We have them over there. And so afterwards, we have some time of refreshment. Volunteers, if you're looking to get connected, and we thank you, all of our volunteers. We can't do it without you. It's just a blessing to be able to work together and do what God's calling us to do as a family. And so we have greeters, ushers, the coffee station over here, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead prayer or a discipleship class. And so if that's something you want to do and you haven't stepped out and started doing it yet, we want you to come talk to us. Let's develop in those areas. And then invite someone to church. Be intentional. Bring them. All of you here have done that. We thank you for that. 4 out of 5 people attend church because somebody invited them. There's people out in the community that are waiting for your invite. And so we just, you know, there's church cards over there. Take those with you and hand it to somebody. And there's a QR code on there. They can scan it with their phone. And then all the information's there. So this is our vision brochure. And if you haven't gotten one of these, we can hand one out to you. Has everyone gotten one of these in here? Yes. Okay. And so there, we're just encouraging you online. There's a QR code. So you can find out more about the vision that God's given us. And this evening, before I talk a little bit more about that, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says in the Amplified Classic, Isaiah 60 verse 1, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life." And we're speaking this over each and every one of us tonight. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? His manifested presence, his manifested power, his manifested goodness. And we receive that tonight. It says, "For your light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you." And we declare that, we speak that over this area, over this church, over each and every one of you individually. Say, "The glory of the Lord is upon my life, upon my church." And people are being drawn to the glory of the Lord.
People are being drawn to the glory of
that is within me and upon me. Praise God. It's his glory. It's his anointing. And we receive that tonight. And so as we're talking about the vision, praise God, in the glory, there's light. And we are believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, rooms for prayer groups. It's on this brochure, connect groups, nursery classrooms for children's ministry. We can see already the children's ministry is growing, right? I mean, it's coming quick and more babies are on the way. Amen. And so even our young adult classroom and a fellowship hall, which we know we all enjoy that around here. We really, really do. And so speaking of this, this is the next phase in our building project. So we're believing for the $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May. And so also with that, another sign for our building, better lighting for the room, the children's room to be equipped for ministry, and a keyboard for our praise and worship team. So far, $1,074 has come in, and that leaves $3,926. Yes, praise the Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. Thank you all for being faithful and sowing, and we call in your harvest for that. I just want to talk about it every time. We started in the basement. Somebody anonymously, we know the Lord through someone, sent folding chairs to our house with padding on it. Those are the ones we're using for our fellowship dinner now. We set our basement up. It's the long ranch style home basements for church. And then we went to the conference room up over here. Now we're in a rented space. The chairs are growing. The chairs are increasing. The people are increasing. I mean, it's just amazing what God is doing. But most importantly, the word in us is increasing and we're growing in him. So I just want, you know, don't give up. Don't give up on what you're believing for in your life. Don't give up on what God, the desires of your heart and what he has for you. We're not going to give up. If something doesn't seem like it's going our way, you know, if it seems like we fell off the wagon today, well, just keep on going, get back up tomorrow, or don't wait till tomorrow. You know, we're just going to keep moving forward in him because he has great plans for us. His word says so. And so believe for it, release your faith, watch God do what only he can do, because ultimately he's doing it. He's getting his message out. And so as we're giving today, if you're giving, there's a envelope in the seat back in front of you or under your seat. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving online, you could either give to general fund, or there's a drop down for building fund. Also in the room, if you're given to the building fund, please write that on the offering envelope. If you're given by cash or credit card, please fill that all out and sign if it's a credit card giving. And I believe that's it for this evening. Amen. Praise God. Well, we can receive the offering this evening. And actually, I want to pray over that before we pass that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the seeds being sown and all of the seeds that have been sown. We thank you, Father, that you are a faithful God and your hand is upon each and every giver and tither this evening. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against each and every one of us prospers, but that your goodness is supplying for the people. It's your goodness. It's because you love each and every one of us. It's because, Father, you have good plans for us. And we thank you for those good plans. If you agree, say amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Glory to God. Vision. Thank you, Lord, for the vision that he has for us. And I see this. I see this. I see this place here. I see this place that he has for us, full of people, full of those being discipled intensely in the word of God. And I see us, not just me, but I see y'all out here leading these classes, leading these groups, leading these prayer rooms, ministering to the children, enjoying our fellowship together. Praise be to God. Ha ha. And yes, it won't be long. It won't be long. This is what the Lord wants to do. And we're just hooking up in agreement with him. You know, the thing with the Lord is he never asks you to work out and save yourself. He never goes and says, hey, go heal yourself. No. He is our healer. He is our savior. He is our provider. All he's asking us for is to do our part in faith. Amen. And as Jesus, as Mary told those servants, whatever Jesus tells y'all to do, y'all go do it. And he gave them the command, go out there and fill those water pots and then go take it to the master of the feast. And as they did, somewhere along the way, that water became wine. Amen. Glory to God. And so God has a million ways to get a miracle to you tonight. And so we are just looking to hear from him and expecting to hear from him what he has for us. We're going to be continuing tonight on we have a 12-week series here that we've started on Wednesday nights, and it is Jesus the Miracle Worker. We are in week 3 tonight, and we are seeing that Jesus is our deliverer. Tonight, we're looking at Jesus, our deliverer, and we're going to be looking at the deliverance of the demonized man in Capernaum, as recorded in the gospel according to Mark, in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. But in this tonight, we're going to see that this is actually Jesus. So if we remember, we looked at Cana, the wedding feast, a couple of weeks ago, and that was, the Bible says, the beginning of miracles. Again, he's at a wedding. He's not in church. He's not out preaching a meeting on the Sermon or the Mount or something like that. He's just at a wedding. And most likely this is a close friend or a relative. I mean, as it is, you know, if someone's having a wedding, you don't just show up to anybody's wedding. He's not a wedding crasher, right? Amen. But Jesus, he's not crashing the wedding if he shows up, I'm sure. But nevertheless, you know, he's there at a friend or a relative's house. They're running out of wine. Amen. Which again, which would have been a social embarrassment. And instead of just allowing that to play out, Mary says, hey, that we need to do something about this. You know, again, this is aunt, uncle, cousin, nephew, somebody. We need to step in here and help them. Amen. And so Jesus hears from the Father. He gives a faith command. That command is acted upon, and they see that miracle take place. Glory to God. But again, we're going to look tonight at Jesus's first recorded deliverance. And this is a moment where his authority confronts darkness and brings freedom and deliverance to this possessed man. This miracle we're going to see tonight is going to show us that the Father is revealing his will. We're going to see that Jesus will speak the Father's word. We're going to see darkness submit instantly. Darkness submits instantly. We're going to see the man is restored. And again, through this all, we're going to see the Father performing this work through the word of his son, Jesus. But I also want to point out here, you know, a lot of times when you're talking about people getting delivered, you know, people have this, imagination that people getting delivered of a demon is somehow a dramatic, it's chaotic, it's scary. You know, we need to go and perform an exorcism, whatever all that entails. You know, no, it entails none of that. It entails having a word from God, speaking that word, and the devil must flee from it. Amen. Glory to God. So again, Jesus is simply setting the captives free as he is anointed to do, according to Luke chapter 4. But we're going to open in prayer tonight, and we'll get into this passage. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the word tonight, and we are inviting you to reveal Jesus as our deliverer. And we're asking you tonight to bring clarity, Lord, in this, to bring peace, and Lord, to bring confidence, that we may also step out in faith on the authority of your word, in your name, even as you have given us command. And Holy Spirit, we're asking you to unveil this truth to us tonight, that we might live and walk in victory and be that victory word for somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So we're going to read this passage here again in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Now, I want to encourage you, there is a sheet that you can follow along with there online. So on our website, vlfc.church/sermons, you can go and you can download this sheet that you can follow along with here. But in this passage, I want to ask you, as I read this, that you be listening. You be listening for a key word or a key phrase or something that stands out to you about what Jesus did, how he did it, and why it turned out the way that it did. And we're going to ask for your response here in a minute. But Mark 1:21, then Jesus and his companions went to Capernaum. So again, this is home. This is home base. And right away, Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. The people were astonished at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the scribes. Can we all say that together? He taught as one who had authority. Praise God. Verse 23, suddenly a man. So Jesus is in here teaching, and suddenly there's an outburst. Suddenly a man with an unclean spirit. This, again, when we're saying unclean, we're talking about someone who is demon possessed or greatly under the influence. So this man is in church. Right? He's in synagogue. It's the Sabbath day. He's in church where he's supposed to be, but yet this man has been demon possessed. At some point in his life, something has occurred. He has been yielding. He has been yielding. He has been yielding. And now he is demon possessed. And so this scripture translates it as an unclean spirit. He cries out right in the middle of the teaching in the synagogue. Verse 24, what do you want with us? Notice that word us. So this is not just one unclean spirit. He says, what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked the spirit. Be silent, he said. Come out of him. And at once, or at this, the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out with a loud shriek. And all the people were amazed and began to ask one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands. Say, he commands. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the news about Jesus spread quickly through the whole region of Galilee. All right, so I want to ask you here tonight, and just take a moment, but in this passage, as we get started here tonight, what stood out to you? What stood out to you about this? He spoke as one with authority. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. He spoke as one with authority. Praise God. Well, I want to just unpack this a little bit. And what we want to look at first here is number one, how did this play out? How did this play out? And so, number one, we're going to see what the Father's part is, what Jesus' part is, and what the faith response is. Because, again, miracles don't just take place because Jesus willed it and Jesus just says, I'm Son of God, I've got the power, and I'm just going to do what I want to do today. It doesn't work that way. You know, and we saw this even, I believe it was last week, we were looking at the paralytic. Jesus is in the house teaching. The place is so full of people, they cannot get through to bring their friend or paralyzed friend or relative. So they got to get up on top of the roof. And the scripture says that power was present. Healing power was present to heal everybody. And yet the scripture only records one healing miracle taking place that night. Again, scribes and all these people had come from Jerusalem. They're in Jesus' house where he's teaching, but they are in themselves. They're just really there to listen, and they're trying to find a way really to trip him up in his own teaching, which we later see. But again, the scripture says that power was present there in that place to heal everybody, yet only one man received his miracle. So even though the power is present, there is a part that everyone has to play, and our part is faith if we're going to engage in and receive anything from God. Again, faith is the currency of the kingdom. Amen. It is what bridges this natural realm with the kingdom realm. If we're going to receive anything from God, you're going to have to take it on the basis of faith alone. All of your works, all of your do's and all of your don'ts and all of those things will not receive anything from God. God will not be indebted to anybody. You're not going to merit. You're not going to earn. In fact, grace has already provided everything you could possibly ever need, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, no matter what, it has already been provided for you in Christ. And all you have to do is believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and receive it by faith. And as you do, that's how you're born again. As you do, that's how you're healed. Hallelujah. That's how you get your needs met. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to look at this. So number one, we want to see, there's four things I want to note here. But number one, what this miracle reveals about Jesus. First off, we see Jesus is teaching in the synagogue when a man with the unclean spirit cries out. Number one, we see here that Jesus carries authority over the devil. Newsflash, in case we didn't know. Darkness recognizes him and his authority over them. Darkness knew who he was, and they knew he had authority. They said, hey, we know who you are. It's not time yet. You're here to destroy us. You're here to torment us. Jesus says, silent, get out, come out of him. So again, Jesus is not intimidated by the devil in the least little bit. No, the next thing we see here is that Jesus brings freedom, not fear. All right. This turned into a very chaotic situation. Again, they're in the middle of church. They're having church, and all of a sudden this demon-possessed man starts screaming out. Jesus brings freedom. He's bringing peace, not fear. We also see here that deliverance is part of his ministry. We also, just a few scriptures to support this, in Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word, and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. All that's needed is a word. All that's needed is a word. Jesus also says in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth and in under the earth. Amen. We also see in 1 John 3:8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy, or that is to unravel, the works of the devil. So again, when Jesus shows up, when the word of God shows up on the scene, demons tremble, demons start manifesting, but when they do, Jesus just casts them out. Get out in the name of Jesus. We're not having that here. Again, we see in Luke 13, Jesus reveals something to us. He says, we're here to occupy until he comes, which means we are to take ground. We are to advance the kingdom of God. So when we encounter the devil, we're to cast him out. Again, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. And by faith, faith, we're to operate in this natural realm. And when we encounter the devil, cast him out. When you see the sick, you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. They shall recover. Amen. Whatever you need, we're just by faith receiving from this kingdom realm into this natural realm. Again, Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. There's no devils in heaven. Amen. There's no devils dancing around the throne.
Right?
There's no sickness and disease. Have you ever heard of the heavenly flu? No. Did you think they're talking about in heaven cold and flu season?
No.
No. So as it is in heaven, thy will be done on earth. Is healing God's will? Of course it is. Why? All you've got to do is look at heaven. Is there any poverty or lack in heaven? Of course not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not just lack, I'll not want. How many know in heaven nobody's wanting for anything? They're walking on streets of gold. They got walls made up of fine and precious stones. No one's going hungry. Amen. Glory to God. As it is in heaven. We have that same kingdom authority. We have that same kingdom provision to receive from that kingdom into this realm. We're going to look at this here very soon when Jesus feeds the multitudes with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which really were just a little boy's lunch, most likely some sardines and some crackers. Jesus multiplies this. Where did the loaves, where did the fish come from? The kingdom realm. He took from that kingdom, he blessed it, he spoke words over it, and it just multiplies. Where did it come from? It wasn't here in the natural realm, and yet it manifests. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, what Jesus did, which was, and first and foremost, Jesus is always in perfect obedience to the Father. We see this in John 5:30. Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. Now, again, this is the Master. This is Jesus. Born of a virgin, right? He says right here, I can do nothing of myself. He says, as I hear, I judge, or I speak, or I pass judgment. So again, when he says, when he cast out the devil, he doesn't do this on his own authority. He does it because he heard from the Father what to do in this situation. As I hear, I'm going to pass judgment on this devil today. And he says, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I believe it would do you good to meditate on this scripture morning, noon, and night for the rest of your natural life. Again, this is one of the most powerful revelations in all of scripture right here. Jesus didn't say, I wouldn't. He said, I couldn't. I cannot do anything except I hear or see it from the Father. He says again in John 14, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Instead, it is the Father dwelling in me, performing his works. Again, everything you're going to see in the life and ministry of Jesus, none of it worked because he's Jesus. None of this works because you're in fivefold ministry and you're so anointed. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. The scripture says that. No one else has ever had the Spirit like he has. Amen. And again, here he is saying, yet all of these things, I can do nothing. I can't judge. I can't do anything except I hear from the Father. And all the while, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing his works. He modeled it for us on that side of the cross. And now on this side of the cross, we're in Christ. Christ is in us, and we operate the exact same way. I can do nothing of myself. I can't decide, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go there, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to marry this person, I'm going to, you know, minister healing today this way. I can't do any of that until I've heard, number one, from him. The most important thing you could ever do in your life is to hear from him. Get saved, get born again. But again, the word tells us in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, again, flip that scripture. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If we're going to operate as sons, we've got to hear from Daddy. We need to hear from the kingdom realm how to handle this situation. We can read our Bibles, which we do every day. Amen. We're reading our Bibles so that we can know the overarching will of God, but how we're to walk it out today in my life, in this situation, only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you. Only Holy Spirit can breathe on that word and make it revelation for you today as to how you're going to walk it out. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus does not cast out the Spirit because he's Jesus. He heard from the Father what to do. He acts on the Father's instruction. The Father performed the work through his word. So when Jesus said, be silent, come out of him, he's not acting independently. He's acting in perfect unity with the Father. Jesus just spoke the word he heard from the Father, and the word did the work, driving out the unclean spirit. Again, Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. How did he do it? The word of God. Where did he get the word? He heard it from the Father. Amen. Every time, every single time, that's exactly how it works. Number three, how did the people respond? So again, we're talking about faith in action. So the people that were there, they recognized Jesus' authority. Again, they marveled. He's teaching as one who has such authority. And then the demon manifests, and then he demonstrates the authority. Glory to God. So again, they recognized his authority. They saw the power of the word. They responded in awe, and then they went and spread the good news all over Galilee. Now, looking at the man individually who had the unclean spirit. Number one, we know this, he wanted to be free. He wanted to be free, but he could not get free on his own. We also see he had to yield himself to get free. But also want to really note this. Notice that Jesus, again, he does not qualify this man. Now, again, this is the other side of the cross. Jesus has not shed his blood. There's none righteous, no, not one. And obviously for this man to be demon possessed, he wasn't just out minding his own business, being a good churchgoer, following the law, and all of a sudden the devil just showed up at his house and overtook him. That is not at all what happens. The only way that man was demonically possessed is because at some point in his life, he started yielding to the wrong spirit. And he kept yielding, and he kept yielding, and he kept yielding till that spirit gained dominance over him and filled him with an unclean spirit or spirits. All right? So again, this man had been living in some type of a sin to even get to this particular point. Now I want to note here, there are people who have been demonically possessed and under demonic influence who did not want to be free, who do not want to be free. And I don't want to go into all that tonight, but there are examples, even of people who have yielded to a wrong spirit. They have no desire to be free from it. Well, you're not going to override their free will. If they have openly submitted themselves and yielded to this wrong spirit, I can't go and cast that devil out of that person. All right? That just want to take that side note. So again, the man wanted to be free, but now he's at the point he can't get free. This demon is in control of him, even so that this man is in church. And even beyond this man's control, the demon speaks out, overriding him and starts interacting with Jesus and screaming out in the church. Jesus didn't put up with it. He dealt with it, and the man got free. Praise God. So I want to make note here in Scripture, James 4:7, it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. All right. So again, when it comes to dealing with the demonic influence, or whether it be a sickness or disease or something that is attacking you or harassing you, speak to that thing. Yes. Speak to that thing. Jesus commanded that spirit, get out of here. Amen. We see again later on, Jesus, get behind me, Satan. It's written, it's written, it's written. Jesus gives a command, tells the devil what to do and where to go, and the devil obeys. Now, again, James writes over here to you and I, resist the devil, he will flee from you. So again, we know here, we are never to pray to God about the devil. We don't go to God, oh, they're just wearing me out with this over here. Oh, this sickness and this disease, oh, it's just so big and it's so bad. No, he says, you resist the devil. You resist sickness and disease. If you've got things, if you have ungodly soul ties or addictions or these things, you speak to that in the name of Jesus. You take authority over it. It will flee from you. And it won't take a long time. It can happen that fast. And in a lot of cases, it can happen instantly when you'll deal with that spirit, especially when it is a demonic spirit. When you'll command that thing to go in Jesus' name, it will go. It will go. It has to. The Bible says he will flee from you. There's no maybe about it. So again, the Father reveals the word. Jesus speaks the word. Darkness submits to the word. The Father performed the miracle all the while through his word. Amen. But it wasn't just the Father's will. He needed a man on the earth, in this case, Jesus, to speak what he heard so that the Father could manifest himself. Hallelujah. No, we're going to see here, number four, what does this mean for us today? This miracle teaches us that we are ambassadors of the kingdom. Where we encounter the devil, we're to cast him out, and we're now to occupy that territory. Amen. Number two, we see that Jesus's authority is greater than darkness. Jesus's authority is always greater than darkness. And it's not so much Jesus's authority, it's the authority of the word. The authority of the word is always greater than whatever devil is out there. Amen. The word carries the power. You and I today, as believers, we carry that same delegated authority. Praise God. And again, Jesus speaks this to us in Luke 10:19. He says, behold, I have, past tense, given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. He goes on to say in the Great Commission, Mark 16:17, in my name, they will, say I will, cast out demons. Amen. So again, we're not playing with demons. We're not counseling demons. No. We command demons. Get behind me. Get out. Don't you ever come back. Hallelujah to Jesus. Again, we're not praying to demons. We're not praying about demons. Ha ha. We're not praying about the mountains in our lives. We're speaking to the mountains in our lives. We tell them, go jump in the sea. Don't you ever come back. How many know when you go, and the idea with that is when you tell a mountain to get up, be thrown out into the sea, what happens? It's swallowed up. You can't see it anymore. It's as though it never occurred. That's how it's supposed to be in your life. It's supposed to be, I command this attack, I command this symptom, I command this influence, I command this thing that's been harassing me, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Don't you ever come back, and I'm going to live from this day forward even as though sin has never happened in my life. That is the grace of God. That is the power of the word of God. That's why he sent it. He sent his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. Your victory is in your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all say this together. This is our identity statement for tonight. In Christ, I'm covered, protected, and empowered to walk in freedom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, here in the room, we have some group discussion questions, and we're going to break out into what we call ministry labs, and we're going to partner up in this, and then we're going to close up here tonight. But online, again, this is for the in-room only, but online, we invite you to come if you're in the area. We'll be back here on Friday morning for a Friday morning prayer, and then Sunday, our regular service at 10 o'clock, where we're going to continue teaching and preaching and ministering on the miracle ministry of Jesus. In the meantime, know this, God loves you, we love you, and in Him we are living in victory.